Happened to you too? Okay.
Yeah, you know, me, I pick up everything.
Okay. You're like, oh, well, I'm going to use my computer. So, all right, praise God. So now, back to false prophets, speaking of bad computer things popping up. And we got to know this because, like I said, the Bible gives us this because they're going to come in different forms. And remember, their job is to deceive. Their job is to mislead. In many cases, they hit upon things to try to lure you in. Okay? And they come disguised as an angel of light. Okay? So we understand all that. So we got a chance to go through everything. We went through all of the two major verses in 2 Peter and in Jude, which really went over in detail their characteristics. So where we last left off is the reason false teachers have made so much progress is because we allow them, right?
Right.
All right, amen. Okay. So, and understand this. So, deception, misleading is whose fault? Ours. And until you get that, you'll play the victim. And if I play the victim, it's easier to play the, but I was just minding my own business and they cheated me out of my money. Instead of going, no, I had no business playing three-card Molly because I know there's a trick to it. Do you understand that? Why was I playing that? Because I was greedy and thought I could make money and blah, blah, blah. Instead of going, I had no business playing that. So in the same spiritual sense, they get it because we allow them. Look what he says here. When it says we simply put our guard down and let them in. He says in 2 Corinthians 11, 3 through 4, but I am afraid that just as Eve was deceived, and if you notice he's using this comparison because it's the same thing that happened to her, he's saying, by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray. He says, from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. So you're truly saying, hey, I'm following Christ. He's saying, for if someone comes to you and preaches a Jesus other than the Jesus we preach, or if you receive a different spirit from the one you receive, or a different gospel from the one you accepted. Let me stop there for a minute. I mean, Jehovah's Witness, good example. And they're, especially this today, they're ready to bring up Jesus a lot. You'll see them a lot, even in their books now. They used to avoid Jesus. Now they bring up more Jesus. Still not Jesus in the Bible. But because they're doing it, people are going, do you understand? It's kind of making people perk up. Instead of going, but what does the word say? Because they're still outside of the word. Yes, one simple thing. So Jesus is God, right? And they're, oh no, well, because no, use their Bible and no kind of twist things. But that's not what the Bible says. And they'll never come back to that. And then they usually leave you be. But the point of it is, that's a different Jesus. And he says, and if you receive a different spirit from the one you receive, the Bible explains the Holy Spirit. The Bible explains how the Holy Spirit, but people will hear, the Spirit will do this and the Spirit will do that. I've heard people say what the Holy Spirit will do and the Bible didn't say that. You know what I'm saying? They'll kind of explain things and you're like, no, it's not how it works. The Bible doesn't say that. You understand that? He says, or a different gospel from the one you accept. Just like what we're doing with sin. We're basically telling people, you say these few words, and you can do all the sin you want and you're safe. Do you understand that? You know, and that's not what the Bible, it's a whole different gospel. He says, you put up with it easily enough. So the problem is, I think what he's stressing to us is you're going to hear some things that may be confusing. It would be much better if you brought it in here and say, I heard this. Let's go over this. Can you show me this in the Bible? And we're really diligent about making sure we understand the answer in the Lord. Do you ever say, instead of going, eh, that sounds right. You got where I'm coming? He's saying we put up with it easily enough. The reason why it happens, if we like it, we just accept it. There's a lot of discussions Christians should be having, but we're not. We accept what we accept, or we don't what we don't. Oh, we don't do none of the above. That's what he means. You put up with it easily enough. And that's what's happening. We're kind of taking things for granted. We're just kind of, yeah, whatever. I got too much to do. I don't have time to look up this. How many times have you heard something preached? And instead of searching it, it's stuck in the back of your mind or you just allowed it and you never looked into it. You never looked deep into, okay, what does this word say about it? Or you let somebody tell you about it. I mean, this whole thing we were talking about, the ventriloquism and all the other stuff. If you don't look at that, you may say some things that God never said. You understand that? I grew up in a charismatic church, and I remember the way they used to yell at the Satan and demons. Sound right? Because they would use one verse. We have authority. And they would use authority in the wrong way. Until somebody simply showed me, like the verse we just saw about these people are like beasts from instinct. We just read that in the last two verses where he says, out of instinct, they yell at, you know, or slander celestial beings. He's saying, even Michael said, the Lord rebuke you. And when I read that, I'm like, then why are we doing this? And it's because we were ignorantly. But now where I was wrong is I should have said, so this thing we're doing, can y'all show me that? You know what I'm saying? And then I should keep, as I'm studying it. But the more I studied, the more I knew what was wrong and what was right. And I'm to the point where if you can't fully show me it in sound doctrine, then I'm not doing it. Does that make sense? And that's why studying is so important. That's why communicating is so important. That's why prayer partners are so important. That's why all of this is so important, because it's the only way you're going to be truly protected. But we put up with it easily enough because we don't put the time in. We don't really question things. We accept what we like and we get rid of what we don't. Y'all see the problem? Amen. And it goes on to say, we tend to live for the desires of the flesh. That's the biggest problem. Okay, so remember, if Satan can get us to the point where he got Eve for me to see or saw, you remember what I'm saying, when she saw that the fruit was good, if he can get me to the point where I'm going, I like that. How many of you have heard somebody preach something and you really like what they preached, almost to the point of, I don't want to find out this is wrong. I like that answer. There was one person who was in an alternative lifestyle. They went to a church. The minister convinced them. So when they came to me, and that's, you know, there was this church, and he said he preached it, and it was the first time somebody ever preached it, and it was so clear. And I said, what was he preaching? He said he preached that this lifestyle was okay. God doesn't care about that. And I went, okay. And I said, so you're coming to see me for what? To tell you that. I said, do you want to hear anything about what the word says about it? Do you understand? I said, because the key is, if I don't want to hear it, I don't want to hear it. Now, I'm still going to have to pay for it. Do you understand? I'm still going to be in trouble if I accept it. But that's what tends to happen. We allow our desires to go ahead of us. Look what it says in Matthew 24:11-14. It says, and many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Why? Because of the increase of wickedness. We allow more and more wrong to the point where it doesn't seem wrong. A lot of stuff you see today, if we seen it just maybe 10, 20 years ago, we'd be like, oh, some of the stuff they put on TV, I'm talking about regular TV, and their reason is because we got to compete with cable. But the junk they put on there, we're just like, are you serious? Do you understand? The stuff kids are now being exposed to on the internet is... Now, our answer is usually, I'm just going to keep it away from them. No, you got to prepare your kids for them. It's all around us. You got to make sure they understand this is what you're going to be exposed to. How do you deal with it? Do you understand that? And he says, it's going to be... deception is going to happen because of the increase in wickedness. He says, the love of most will grow cold. But he who stands firm to the end will be saved. Do you understand that? Okay? So it's only he that stands firm. Now, firm, of course, placing on faith is the one that basically says, I don't care what I see, how I feel, what it looks like. If it's not firmly in the word of God, I'm not budging. Y'all get that? Okay? And we have to get that mindset. We still keep trying to reason God away. Verse 14 says, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations. Then the end will come. You'd be surprised. One thing that always frustrated me is when people would leave sometimes and I get a chance to talk to them. And I would ask, was there anything that was misleading, whatever? They were like, no, it was some of the clearest I ever got. But, and they'll give me a desirable answer why they left. Do you understand? But I want more of this and I want more of that. Nothing about the truth. I want more of this. And it would always disturb me because I'm like, but the main reason you're going to church is for the truth. I hope that's why you're going to church. But a lot of them would be, I want to go to this because I get more of this and I feel more of this and I have more of this. But it wasn't more of the truth. In fact, one said, no, I don't really get the truth like I did there. But, and I'm serious, and they were very clear. And then the stuff they were giving me, I'm kind of, okay, does that make sense? Do you understand it? Would you, if your child came home and said, we played every day, we had a great time, I made a whole lot of friends, what'd you learn? I didn't learn much. That's the school I'm sending them to. And be honest with you, a lot of us do. Kids come back home happy. I'm thrilled. Not come home smart. You understand that? Or come home learning. Or come home growing. And a lot of times we do this. So the false teaching, even though the false teachers are doomed, like he said, it's not because of them. I'm letting y'all know that, so for those who get led astray, we can't use that as our defense. Do you understand that? You know, when we have to answer to God, we can't go, well, it's just because this guy, he came wrong, he was so charismatic, and the things he said, and God's going to go, no, I gave you everything you need for life and godliness. You chose to be misled. Chose. Did everybody get this? Amen? So, how do we stay protected from false prophets? Everybody understand? No questions so far? Okay, so here's now how we do it. How do we avoid or stay protected from? Well, one thing you're going to notice in a lot of these cases, Avoidance, only use avoidance when God says to avoid. Now, why am I saying that? Because a lot of times when we go through these stages where Christians have this, I don't do this, and I don't do that, and it sounds good, and they're patting themselves on the back. And like I said, the danger in that is, what happens when it does you? Are you prepared for it? Does that make sense? You know what I mean? It's very easy for me to go, I don't send my kids to school. I send my, because of bullies, I homeschool my kids. Sounds great. Are you going to homework them? Are you going to home grocery them? Are you going, you might as well put them in a bubble. They're going to get affected by something. How are they going to deal with it? Do you understand that? This avoidance of it isn't always the answer. It's the preparing them for it. It's what you got to do. You know what I mean? Failure is one of the greatest things. I know, I watched my grandkids and I had to do it with my kids. I was praising God when they win, and just as much when they lose. When they play a sport, I like to see them lose. And I want to encourage them. This is life. This is how it's going to go. And teach them how to be a good loser and how to, do you understand? This is a part of life. You're going to have some failures. And that's a great thing. Give God the glory. Do you understand that? And we have to teach that. So how do we stay protected? First of all, our overall protection from being misled is true, is a true relationship with Jesus. A true relationship. This is in Colossians 2:2-8. He says, my purpose is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love. Now, the two things, first of all, the encouraged in heart. Remember, your heart is your purpose. Okay? And if your purpose is in Christ, is that I'm encouraging you in that, in your purpose. I'm encouraging you to stay in the right purpose, is what that's saying. Does everybody get that? So we have to encourage each other to stay on that path of Christ and united. What keeps us together? Love. Now, please understand this, because this is where we mix it up. This is not talking about hippie love. This is not talking about human love. This is not talking about made up love. This is talking about true love. 1 Corinthians 13 love. Agape love. Why am I stressing that? Because you have a lot of people that have emotional love, which is not love. That's desire. Some people have eros love, which is not love. That's desire. Some people have human love. That's a struggle of love. And it's not necessarily the love we're talking about, because that's based on a very limited thing. This is talking about godly love. So when I'm united in love, how I love you is by giving you God. Does that make sense? Okay, so I'm encouraging you in the path of God, and what brings us together is God. So my purpose must be God. It says, so that you may have the full riches of complete understanding. Now, what does he mean by that? A lot of us have understanding, but we don't have the full riches of it. What that means is, a lot of us may know Scripture. We may know a lot of things about Scripture. We know little things in it, but we don't have how it goes together and how this is all I need to know. Does that make sense? A lot of us don't grasp that. And because I don't have that, other elements play a part. Does that make sense? People don't understand, some of the most learned people in the earth were the Pharisees, Sadducees, and religious leaders. Do you understand that? Okay? They knew their books inside and out. But he basically told them, you're all going to hell. You do know that. Okay? Jesus was very clear, you're going to hell. Why? Because they added another element of self. Pride, you know what I mean, misleading. It was all about them. Since that other element existed, they weren't getting the full riches of that understanding. Do you understand that? If they had the full understanding, they'd understand what humility meant. They'd understand that it had to be in Christ. They understand that they were just an instrument. So it says the full riches of complete understanding. When I read that, it's letting me know, Keith, you got to stay in this word and gain understanding. Why do you think he didn't give us one page and say, if you read this, you'll understand everything? Because a big part of us is us, once again, earnestly seeking him. Does that make sense? Earnestly seeking him. It goes on to say, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Two things I want to point out there. That they may know the mystery of God. So what's the mystery? First of all, throughout the times, they didn't recognize the true mystery all came down to Christ, the Son. Okay? And the only way I'll understand or gain understanding in true wisdom, I have to find it in Christ. Did you notice I said I have to find it in Christ because it's hidden in Christ? So I have to search and grow in Christ in order to find it? Does that make sense? Why? That's a relationship. So in me getting to know Christ, the more I get to know, the more I get. That's why I'm saying hidden in Christ. It didn't just say Christ will hand them out. It didn't say once you go, hey, Christ, and here's all your answers. No, no. I'm getting to know Christ. And the more I grow in knowing Christ, the more I get to know everything that I need to know. Does that make sense? Okay? That's that gnosis, that intimate love. The deeper you get into it, the more you understand what's going on, the things that are happening, the yeses, the noes, and you'll grow into that. He says in verse 4, I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by what? Fine-sounding arguments. He's saying, you'll only really get the answer in a true relationship with him, not when somebody comes to you and says something that sounds good. And that's what's happening. You got a lot of people who know how to write books that sound good, say statements that sound good, give you sermons that sound good. Do you understand that? And a lot of us follow the sound good mentality. And that's not what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to do what he says and grow in him. So in other words, I'll hear a sermon and I'll really like it, but I still go back and check with Christ. That's relationship. Does that make sense? That's really true relationship is. You know, I told you the one kid that we grew up with, and he had a relationship with his family. Because even though all the other kids were doing this one thing, and we allowed him to be part of the group and everything like that, every time we want to go do something, I got to go ask my parents. No, we don't have time for that. Then I can't go. He had a true relationship with them. Now, he was getting ready to be left out. He didn't know if tomorrow we wouldn't include him anymore. He did all that, but he was like, no, my parents, I have to check with them before I can go. Do you understand that? You know, and that's the truth. Same thing with us. Even though you could see his face lit up because we were going to play in this. We had no business being there, but they were building this house, and so every time the people would leave the construction site, we go and play in the house. Now you know how dangerous that could be, but that, you know, as kids, we were like, we know how to get there. We're gonna get in. And he was like, oh, and we were playing Fort and all this other stuff. And when we said we're gonna do it, he went, okay, I gotta ask my parents. We're like, we're almost like, no, you really can't tell them. Matter with you. You can't go. He was like, no, if they can't say I can't go. And we were like, well, never mind then. We just didn't tell him. So we went and played, you know, without him and stuff like that until the cops came, but it's a whole other story. But you, so you understand, the thing about it is he still had the right relationship, and in that relationship of protecting them, I'm sure he felt left out. I'm sure he felt, because a couple times we went there and we came back and we talked about it, you could see him looking like, oh, man. But he had the right relationship. Does everybody get this? But we were giving him fine-sounding arguments. Man, I did it and had a good time. You know, just do what I did. You understand that, and you see how this works out. He says in verse 5, for though I am absent from you in the body, I am present with you in the spirit and delight to see how orderly you are, how firm your faith is in Christ. Two things, orderly. Order has to be in our lives. Okay? Chaos. Now, please understand what that means. Order means... And not in order of everything's going to be necessarily neat and everything. It means you know the order. Nothing comes before Christ. So the order of things, nothing comes before Christ. That means, and he tells me how it works in my family. He tells me how it works for this. See, Satan can come and shake things up, either making it real good for me or making it real hard for me, and I'll change my order. Does that make sense? I'll say, like, for instance, it says husbands love your wives as Christ loved the church. The order is, husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church, right? So now I can have a bad day, my wife can get on my nerves, and I might not show her love and use that as my excuse. But I had a tough day, she has to understand, no, I just messed up the order. There was no order there. How it should have been was, man, I'm having a bad day, I better make sure that doesn't get in the way in my love of my wife. Do y'all get that? Wives, submit to your husbands as unto the Lord. Wives go, well, he was acting real stupid. That doesn't say anything about him acting real stupid or whatever like that. It's a wife will go, he's acting kind of stupid, but I got to submit to him. And hopefully in my submitting, it'll. But I better make sure that the order. Orderly, he says he was impressed on how they were being orderly, these people in Colossae, and how firm your faith in Christ. That everybody, if you in your Bible is underlined or on the paper underlined or circle the word firm, is showing that they didn't budge. They didn't have a 1 minute I'm this way and then tomorrow I change. Okay? And this is what he means in that relationship. He says, so then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him. Do y'all see this? Where he becomes your, and you know, totally what engulfs you, that is your life. We are in him. Okay? And he is in us. He's saying, rooted and built up in him. Two things. Rooted. Now, when you hear root, what do you think of? Digging in, but there's something. The root is the anchor and the nourish feeder of the plant. Okay. Very good. But yeah, you see how that works. So we are, first of all, to be anchored in him. In other words, what holds the plant in the ground is their roots. So we have to have rooted in him, that nothing's going to pull me out of him, but my real nourishment comes from him. In other words, when I get my nourishment from somewhere else, it's not being nourished. I'm not really getting what I'm supposed to have. Do you understand that? So when it's saying rooted in him and built up in him, very important. One thing Satan likes to do is build you up in you. Did you catch that? I'm supposed to be built up in him. So I'll hear somebody encourage me in Christ. Give me what I need in Christ. They won't go, Keith, man, you're a wonderful speaker. You're an outstanding man. You're a this and that. Christ was lucky Jesus to pick you. Because then it's about who? It's about me. Or if they came to me and said, man, keep your focus on Christ, man, because without him, you are absolutely nothing. That's a build-up of me in him. Do y'all get that? And make sure, Keith, I don't want you to get in the way because it's all about him. Y'all see the difference there? Okay, so we keep it so it's not about us. It's saying, so rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught. Stop there for a minute. So not only am I in the faith, I'm allowing it to be my strength builder. Does everybody get that? So faith is my strength builder. It's saying strengthened in the faith. Please understand that, okay? So I'm strengthened not only in faith as I grow, but the faith is my strength. So it's a combination in which, how am I getting stronger and stronger? By growing in faith. Faith comes from what? Hearing. Hearing from Word of God. You understand that? So I'm growing in that. If I allow anything else to be my strength, I'm actually becoming weak. Okay? Strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. The overflowing of thankfulness had to be there, because if not, you're going to find reason not to thank God. How many times do we go, God, I don't understand why you're doing this to me. I don't understand why I'm going through this. Thankfulness, remember, it says prayer, petition, and thanksgiving. It says there are those that worship God as God, worship him, God, not as God, and they don't thank him. Thanking God is such an important part of your walk. I encourage you to do it in all your prayers. And truly do it. Say, God, I'm struggling, but I thank you. That's a showing of trust in, I don't get it, but I know you know what you're doing. Do you understand? When the overflowing of thankfulness, you'll go in the worst times and you'll just be giving him the praise. You may feel hurt, but you'll be thankful. Because you're like, this pain is intense, but I know it's for my good because I trust in you. Do y'all get that? And you have to continually say that, not only for your encouragement, but to show him that I'm trusting in you. If not, Satan's like, oh, I got him. Do y'all get this? You know, Satan really have a hold on us in that. It's saying, then he says in verse 8, see to it. Stop there for a minute. So now he's putting this on who? Us. I give you the power to do it. Now you make sure this doesn't happen. That's what he's getting ready to say. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy. Like I say, as a pastor, you know how many times people come with some sort of thing and they'll give me something that somebody told them. And after I'm hearing it, I'm going, so do you know where that is in the Bible? Well, and I thought about it, or I seen it happen, or I saw somebody else do it and it worked. And you hear me, I'm first tell you about my infomercials. You understand? That commercial was outstanding until I buy it. Then it's me going to my wife and she's giving me the same speech. What is this anyway? Well, it worked on TV. Why didn't you send me one of those? But okay, do you understand that? Spiritually, we do the same thing in life and it kicks us in the butt. So I have to see to it that no one takes me captive through hollow and deceptive. I can just see me when they come on the commercial because I'm taking captive. I'm like, did you see that? Did you see what it did? You just take this one thing and it'll throw away all your trash in one bit. I love invention, so please pray for me. But you understand? So I got to make sure nobody takes me captive through that. You got to make sure nobody takes you. And we all have our weaknesses. We all have our weaknesses. Somebody say the right thing, man, they got you. Relationships, come on. Y'all know that. Young ladies, y'all know that. Old ladies, y'all know that. All of us, young men and women, they say the right thing. You'll be taken captive through hollow and deceptive. See those two things added in there? First of all, hollow means there's no substance to it. Okay, there's nothing in the word that'll support it. However, but you like it because it's deceptive. Deception means it makes me believe it even though it's wrong. It's a lie. That's why it's deception. That's what the commercials do. Commercials do, like, there was a thing using the same thing about commercials. Did you know in commercials for ice cream, they use cooking oil? Because under the lights, it won't melt. That's why it always looks so nice and everything. But when you get it, it's all melted. You know what I mean? There's certain things they do in there. I didn't realize the stuff they did. There's a whole commercial on it and what the stuff that they use and to make you think. When you watch the commercial, you see this ice cream and it looks all, you know, excellent and all, whatever it's supposed to look like. And then you get it and it melts. Even though I like melted ice cream, it's another story. But so it's saying it's deceptive philosophy. They're giving you stuff and you like what you hear, so I follow. Here's the problem. That's not going to fly with God. Do you understand that? God gave you the protection. He's saying, make sure you don't let this happen. He says, which depends on what? Human traditions and the basic principle of this world rather than on Christ. And the only way I'll know that is when you tell me something, I'm checking with God. If it doesn't line with God, I'm going, okay. You know what I mean? I don't care how great it sounds, how bad, you know, and all of it, I got to go, until it's in line with Christ, I can have nothing to do with it. So everybody see that? I encourage you, we'll stop here, to read over that one again, Colossians 2:2-8. And we'll go, and God willing, we'll go through the rest of them and finish up, and then we'll see how to deal with false teachers and prophets. The first one's how to stay protected. But that one I encourage you as a homework, go through that again on your own, each step of those, and see all this riches and things that he gives you in there to, in order to stay protected from them. I mean, it's powerful in there when you look at it. You understand? It's really making us say the only way, and this, treat Christ as a huge umbrella. My job is to stay under that umbrella. Does everybody get that? Amen? Any questions?
This is not a question. The game that Brother Sean is talking about is called Akinator, A-K-I-N-A-T-O-R. It's an internet game and mobile app based on 20 questions that attempts to determine which character the player is thinking about by asking them a series of questions.
All right. Akinator.
It worked.
It worked.
Got my swipe.
You should have thought of what? Vlade Divac. What was his name played on Lakers? I can't. Vlade. Yeah, you should have thought of him. You probably.
I'm telling you,
Dave. All right, everybody stay away from Akinator. It's witchcraft. Sean says so. All right, thank you for that, sister. All right, any question? Not on the Akinator, but on the, praise God. All right, let's pray.